The Netflix documentary The Keepers is up for an Emmy for Best Documentary or Nonfiction Series. It tells the story of the murder of Sister Kathy Sesnik, a Baltimore nun and Catholic school teacher who disappeared on November 7, 1969. Her body was found almost 2 months later. The case remains unsolved. In the documentary, we meet two women, former students of Sister Kathy, who are spending their days and nights trying to find out what happened nearly 50 years later. We also meet a woman who may hold the key to why Sister Kathy was killed. She says she was sexually abused by priests at the school and that Kathy Sesnik was going to tell somebody about it. Ryan White is the director and producer of The Keepers, and he joins us now from L.A. Ryan, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
And how did you first hear about this story of Sister Kathy Sesnik?
So my family is actually from Baltimore, from a big Catholic family there. And my aunt actually went to the high school, which is the epicenter of the whole story of The Keepers, which is a high school called Archbishop Keough. And she was Sister Kathy's student. And she was also classmates with some of the women who are women in their 60s now who are abuse victims at this school and are some of the main characters in The Keepers.
And was this a story that you heard about when you were growing up?
No. You know, I know it's a story that haunted my aunt her entire life because her favorite teacher was murdered, but it's something that never made its way to me. So a few years ago, there's a mystery character in The Keepers named Jane Doe, who was this woman who had claimed that she had been abused at this high school and then she had been taken to see the body of Sister Kathy by the head priest of the school, Father Maskell. And the woman was always known as Jane Doe under that pseudonym. And a few years ago, my mom and my aunt found out that Jane Doe was in fact their friend, Jean Wayner, who's putting her face and name on Jane Doe in The Keepers, and they connected me with her, and that was my whole entry point to this, you know, deep and dark story.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Jean Wayner or Jane Doe from the documentary. She believes that the abuse that she suffered and others suffered at the high school played a role in Sister Kathy Sesnik's murder.
Kathy Sesnik was killed because she was going to talk about what went on at that school. And I believe that there were more than one person who was really afraid that she was going to out them. And they used her death to keep me quiet.
Now, when she says keep me quiet, she did stay quiet about what she knew for many years afterward, and part of that has to do with her repressing these memories without even noticing that she was doing so.
Yeah, Jean is a story of repressed memory and actually was the first person to come forward with allegations against Father Maskell in the 90s when she was in her early 40s when these memories began coming back to her. And as we know now, she's been corroborated by dozens, if not hundreds of people. But in the 90s, when she came forward, she was really doubted by not only the church, but the state as well, the authority figures, and sort of made to seem crazy and unbelievable and unfortunately was forced back into silence in the 90s until we started making this documentary.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think she faced so much pushback about her story?
Well, I think the Catholic Church is very powerful in Baltimore. And as we examine in the documentary, unfortunately, they exert a lot of power over the state institutions as well. And so Father Maskell himself was a very well-connected man, and he was chaplain for the Baltimore Police. He was Johns Hopkins-trained psychologist. And unfortunately, he was bringing a lot of these colleagues and people that he knew into the abuse ring as well. So there were a lot of people who were threatened. If these abuse victims ever spoke up, there were a lot of people threatened if Sister Kathy ever did something about it. And there were a lot of people that when it started to come out in the 90s, didn't want it to come out.
Two people that we hear from a lot in your documentary are Gemma Hoskins and Abby Schaub, who are former students of Sister Kathy's who are investigating her murder kind of on an amateur basis, although they look like professionals in terms of what they're doing. Let's listen to a little bit of them.
Gemma's been the Nancy Drew, I think. She's good at getting people to talk to her, to calling them up and talk to her.
Abby does amazing research, like no one I've ever met. I like to get on the phone and talk to people and draw the pictures.
And I hate to talk to people, so that works.
What's going on. Our mission, we were driven to find out who hurt Sister Kathy. We have people telling us to be careful.
Our concern was that she fell into something evil, something bad, and got caught up with it. We're told that the story is not the nun's killing. The story is the cover-up of the nun's story.
Tell us about what they have been doing and how important they were in your telling of this story.
Well, as a storyteller, they were gold to me because it was such an interesting way to look at a true crime documentary through the eyes of, as you heard in that clip, they call themselves Nancy Drew Grandmas. And what they've done in Baltimore, I mean, these are two incredibly brave women who were not going to allow the truth to be silenced anymore. And they were sticking up for their fellow sisters from Archbishop Keough High School and for their favorite teacher, Sister Kathy. So I began the documentary, I think it's a little over 3 years ago now. And the amount of progress that Gemma and Abby have made in forcing this story to be brought to light is just mind-blowing. And they deserve so much credit for the fact that we're even talking about Sister Kathy still, or what happened at Archbishop Keough now.
Why do you think they're doing what they're doing?
Well, I think that this was their favorite teacher. And as they'll both say, it always haunted them their entire lives that there were no answers. And they also had positive experiences at this high school. And so when they found out that their friends were part of this torture that was happening within the walls of the same high school where they had a positive experience, they didn't think it was right that the story had been deliberately buried. It all began through Facebook. When they started this Facebook group, they realized right away that they were creating a safe haven for women and men of this age who were abuse victims of this of Father Maskell and his cohorts. They were creating a safe haven for these people to come out and say, this also happened to me.
Now, Father Maskell certainly comes across in your documentary as a suspect in the murder of Kathy Cesnik, but Baltimore police say his DNA doesn't match the crime scene evidence. What do you think, after having looked into this so much, what do you think his role was?
Well, that DNA sample doesn't mean much. So what they determined was that, and they exhumed his body this year, which obviously is must be very expensive and takes a lot of bureaucracy and red tape and resources, I'm sure. So I actually think that's quite a positive step that they were willing to exhume his body and test him for DNA. Now, it begs the question why they never did that in the 90s or the early 2000s when he was still alive and all these allegations were being made about him and he could have been criminally prosecuted. He never was. But no one's prevailing theory has ever been that Father Maskell probably committed the murder himself or that his DNA would be on a cigarette butt that was found near Sister Kathy's body. The prevailing theory has always been that Father Maskell orchestrated this murder, that he would not have done it himself. So I do think it's a positive step that the Baltimore police are finally publicly showing that they're taking him serious as a suspect and that they believe these abuse victims. But it wasn't a surprise that it's not his DNA there.
Was there anybody who wouldn't talk to you?
Oh, there were countless people who wouldn't talk to me. It was a three-year process, and you could feel that we were rooting around in something that people didn't want us rooting around in. So much of the 3 years was spent trying to persuade people to participate or to say, look, I think you need to answer for what you did or didn't do, and you're going to look a lot worse if you just say no comment. So there's various instances throughout the series where you see people stonewalled us, most notably the Archdiocese of Baltimore that refused to go on camera and would only respond in written answers to written questions. But yeah, the entire process of making The Keepers was feeling the tension of people not wanting this story told.
What's been the reaction? I mean, have you been hearing from other survivors of sexual abuse or people who know something about what happened?
Yeah, the reaction, it's been a nauseating couple months since The Keepers came out. I'm obviously very proud of this series, and I'm very proud that it's been so successful and so many people have watched it, but I had not prepared myself for the type of reaction, the ripple effects that were going to come. It almost feels as if we ripped a bandage off of a wound worldwide. From the day The Keepers came out, all of my inbox, social media, my emails were filling up with abuse stories from people that I don't know, people telling me the most horrible, painful parts of their lives and asking me if I could come document that. And so I'm very proud of the success as a filmmaker, of course, but it's also been deeply upsetting to see how prevalent this is. is and how it's still happening, and knowing, you know, I can't go to all of these places around the world and document these people's stories who are moved by watching people like Gene.
Well, what do you want to do next? I mean, are you going to do anything else with this story, or are you moving on to other things?
No, I'm moving on to other things. I'm very happy with the 7 episodes of The Keepers and where the story ends. Of course, I'm following it closely still, and so much information is coming out of the woodwork, both about the murder and the abuse and cover-up still. So I'm not planning on doing any follow-up or a season 2. Perhaps we will do some follow-up at some point. So I'm keeping my eye on it, but I'm planning on moving on to other projects, and I'm just really thrilled with the community response to The Keepers, of what's happening in Baltimore and all of the progress and movement that's coming out of the series having been released.
Well, it is a terrific documentary. Ryan White, director and producer of the Netflix series The Keepers, which is up for an Emmy for Best Documentary or Nonfiction Series. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.